Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and look who just beats the buzzer. We are the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. I am Craig Borden. I'm your host. I am joined this evening by Jason Lyons, who looks like he's ready for a minor league hockey game coaching. And then our other good friend here, obviously, Ken Alfred. Fellas.
Hello.
How the hell are you?
Sorry, I just came rushing in, but yeah, very glad to be here. I know we got a lot to talk about, and yeah, I just can't wait to get into it.
Yeah. Glorious day
Game
here,
on, Jason.
Glorious day here on the left coast. You know, when it really bothers me when I'm picking up skates to go play hockey and I should be wearing shorts and flops, maybe. But old man, fat guy hockey must continue. So much to talk about. It's nuts.
It is that weird time of year when I remember playing hockey as many years as I did play too. Obviously not doing that currently with post shoulder surgery and being able to only lift more than a coffee mug at the moment. But this was a weird time of year. You come out, you're drenched in sweat from being on the hockey ice, and you're like, at least I'll get outside to get cooled off. And then you walk into heat, and then you're like, that didn't help. Yep. You just go straight to the showers. So, but yes, there is so much we have to dive into this evening. And I want to talk a little bit about a rumor that has been flying around first. And our friends over at Jay's Journal have been very vocal about this in repeated articles, so many things going on. And the fact that is Tommy Pham, of all people, is still floating around in the free agent / ether of possible, acquisition. I don't know where you put somebody like Tommy Pham on this team other than Daniel Vogelbach being the guy that would be on the bump, I would think. But Vogelbach is holding the Votto spot down to me right now, unless he proves that he can just mash home runs repeatedly. We've said it enough times on the Jays Journal website, guys. I wanted to at least bring it up to our little forum here that Tommy Pham is available. It's a guy that's been a igniter for X teams, was most recently on the Arizona Diamondbacks that went to the World Series last year. Give me your thoughts. Drop me. Is it completely out of realm, or is this something that actually could help this team get better?
I'll be honest with you. I've never been a giant Pham fan. Does that make sense? he's been okay places he's been. Seems to be a decent team guy. Numbers are okay. At this point right now, Tommy Pham doesn't address what the Jays need. So, if you're making a move just to make a move, just to, put a headline up, why bother? Like you said, you've got Vogelbach, you've got Votto waiting in the wings. You've got a couple of guys who are performing, other places. And I don't know why you would make that move right now. The guys at Jay's Journal are usually right on top of things, but I hope that this might be a swing and a miss. No pun intended.
You're hoping this one to reach at the moment, huh?
Yeah, a big reach.
Kenny, you want to add anything to that? Southfield's got a lot of weirdness going on already.
It is, right? And I don't know exactly where we can actually fit him in. Sometimes it might be something as too much depth, right? So we seem to have a solid core in the outfield for the most part. So I don't know how we can contribute in other ways, right? I know he's projected to hit maybe about 15 home runs and bat maybe 240. So I'm like, okay, that's not bad. But I just don't know how that would fit in with the rest of the Jays at this point.
My worry is you bring somebody like Tommy Pham in and you're taking at bats away from Schneider and left. You're taking at bats from Ernie Clement, who has also been on fire to start this season. And those guys have become pretty big cult favorites. And honestly, I think they have the potential to be more than the, you know, typical John McDonald cult favorite that the Blue Jays fans latch onto, per Eric Heck that wrote that article for, our most recent guest wrote that article recently on his website. It doesn't spell success to me. It just seems like a move. I think we have just as many talented guys in our minor league system right now, including the reigning first week MVP for the Buffalo Bisons, Addison Barger. Yeah. So, you know, he hit a couple of home runs. We had only 8 RBIs in the first week of baseball, boys.
I mean, we knew, you could see it this year. Like, I mean, Addison Barger is right on the cusp. The Orioles sent down some good players that probably should be on their major league roster. But again, I've always been an advocate of the play rather than sit. And Barger as a Jay would probably be sitting a lot more than he would be playing. You know, he'd be DHing. He might squeeze in a couple. I'm really happy to see it. I'm a big Barger fan. I like him. I want to see him on the big squad. I want him to be there when he's ready to completely mash, though, and play a daily position. So, great. Fill your boots down there, buddy. And then if somebody gets hurt, just be a Swiss Army knife. That's all you can, at this point right now, that's all you can possibly hope, is that he's being open and willing to any position that possibly comes available via injury or poor play.
And just to put a bow on the Buffalo Bisons, so far they're off to a 5-3 start. In their division, there's only one team that is outscoring them. Oh, sorry, I take that back. Two teams that are outscoring them, but one of them has a losing record. That's the Durham Bulls, which are the Tampa Bay Rays minor league team. And then the Norfolk Tides, who are the Baltimore Orioles, to your point, Jason, they have more than enough talent on that team, who have already scored 100 runs in 9 games so far this minor league season. The Blue Jays minor league team of the Buffalo Bisons has scored 50. Just kick this season off. So just,
we could probably use some of that. We could.
Yeah. And then in contrast to that, both those teams, the Blue Jays, the Bisons, and the Tides, have not been giving up a ton of runs either. So,
crazy.
It's one of those things. You score enough runs, you're going to win some damn ball games. Hence the reason I'm surprised the Norfolk Tides have actually lost those 2 games. Yeah. So, there's the farm report. We got that one out of the way already.
Yeah.
So, let's go back a little bit, guys. Last week when we recorded, the Blue Jays had won the only game they won in Houston. So it was a 2-1 victory last Tuesday night. And like I said, enough went well for the Blue Jays, but in that series in general, we got no hit. We did get a couple of good outings from Chad Green. Schneider obviously comes up big in that win with a clutch home run off of none other than Josh Hader. That is impressive for the Babe, for the Blue Jays. That was obviously what we saw as a start to some of these things that we've seen with him. And obviously he had another big home run in New York this past weekend. Guys, we've gotten more than a little bit of sample size with Davis Schneider. It's becoming prevalent that he needs to be in this lineup offensively one way or the other. Are you signing up for that at this point? Jason, Ken, you want to go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just why do they call him Babe?
I think it was because of the first 4 home runs he hit, and it was just one of those.
They call him Babe?
It happened in Boston, Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. When you messaged in our little group thing, and I was like, Babe Schneider, I'm like, are the women calling him that? Is it okay? Yeah. That's great. But
His mustache is calling himself that.
Buzzing. But yeah, no, I think I'm very happy with Schneider's performance, especially in the clutch. So, I could be back on the day. He's going to be probably my pick to click for the next one. So just letting you know that ahead of time. Sneak peek.
Oh, foreshadowing.
There you go. To the end of the week.
For me,
Jason, your 2 cents.
I got nothing but time for this guy. I think I made this pretty clear last year. I really, really, really like him. Like the way he plays. For him to miss that ball in the outfield in that Houston game and then come back and walk it off. I mean, just to show the poise that he dropped a ball in an important situation. He was able to collect himself, get back up to the dish, and then smash one out. I mean, it speaks volumes to him as a player and a person. And I mean, I feel like everybody in that Buffalo boys are really starting to, like, I mean, how long do we have to talk about Ernie Clement? Like, can we just take 40 minutes and just straight up talk about Ernie Clement? Like, come on.
Other than he might be one of the best interviews in baseball at the moment. So that was fun. But yeah, I'm going to just to put a bow on that series. It was pretty damn unimpressive in Houston.
It was bad. You can say it was bad. It was bad baseball.
Yes.
You can
say it. Yep. I don't know what those boys are playing, but it sure wasn't baseball.
Yeah, it was that.
Sorry, a little bit old, but quoting that one. There it is. There's the shit stick. So in the midst of this, guys, though, it's just one of those things that it seems like they've taken that series, pushed it way behind them. Like I said, they were able to scavenge the one win together thanks to David Schneider and getting that whole thing. But I want to give out a shout out to the fact that Schneider doesn't get that at bat with two outs if Justin Turner doesn't take that walk right before him. And I don't care what was going on. Josh Hader is still one of the best closers in baseball. He's having some rough spots, obviously, to get the season going, but he's still got some of the most ridiculous breaking stuff on a fastball that I've seen in a long time. And he turned it around. He was dumb enough to throw him a slider. There you go. Hang that thing and let it go into the Crawford boxes. But and actually, I take that back. It actually went into dead center field. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it was not a little hit. So then we moved to the Bronx after a day off. Boys, some good, some bad. I think the summary would be not getting that key clutch hit when you needed to and missing some of those pitching moments to keep that one extra run off the board. Because even the second game loss, guys, they were this close to coming back. The Yankees almost let them back in.
The Yankees were falling apart in that game for two innings, and the Jays took it. It actually, if you watch the game, I was fortunate enough to be able to see almost the whole thing. And it was, as a building block, that's certainly something where they can go into the clubhouse and they can say, oh, okay, guys, that was actually not the worst game. Like, I mean, you battled well, we got runs, we needed to get runs. You just, you know, our pitching was poor. And it's, you know, like
the hole was officially dug.
Yeah, I look at even the Stanton home run that Bowden Francis gave. Like, I mean, why are you throwing that pitch? Like, you're a good enough pitcher,
rough.
And he's a good enough batter that if you give him a build high fastball and you don't have 95 plus zip on it, he's gonna kill it. And I mean, Francis looked, and I'll say this for both of his outings, and I like the guy. He's looked defeated early, and even when he's rolling a little bit, he looks a little defeated. And I think this is where, you know, like a guy like Bassett or Gausman has to step up and has to really start to talk to this kid and make sure that his head's screwed on straight. He's not a kid. He's like 27 years old. So, but what we're witnessing is the equivalent of, you know, so many pitchers that make it to the majors. And everyone thinks they've got great stuff and they've got this and they've got that. How did that guy not make it? Well, this is a great example of it. He's your best minor league pitcher. And maybe that's as good as Francis will ever be, which is unfortunate. But, you know, with Ricky Tiedemann pitching the way that he is, I mean, maybe that turns into a turnkey up down. Are we going to talk about the Manoah, the curse of the Manoah? Like, I mean, holy Moses. I don't know if he threw underhand or what the deal was, but my take on the pitching so far on whole, Berrios has come to play. Berrios, I think he might want to win a Cy Young regardless of how the team does. And he's ripped. He's ready. He's angry. I love every part of it. You know, Gausman's coming off elbow soreness, which, you know, I think is a bit of a cop. I think we'll see a much better Gausman in his next two starts for sure. Bassett seems to be a bit all over the map. He's pitching well, but I feel like he's making some bad decisions, or not any different than in the early in the season last year.
He's looking better tonight so far.
Yeah, he is looking better tonight. But again, that comes with time. And that's why, you know, for the last couple of weeks, you know, our expression has been to Jays fans out there, you know, don't jump into the lifeboat already. Like, this is a long, long, long season with many injuries and many ups and downs. And, you know, I actually, even though the Jays record doesn't reflect it, I don't think they've been that bad. I've seen a lot of really negative comments online and a lot of people, you know, like blowing up, and it just reinforces the fact that most of the people on the internet don't know their ass from their elbow. So, you know, I've got lots of time. They've got lots of time to get the bats are starting to go a little bit again, but I feel like what they're getting right now is they're getting the best of what these other teams have to offer. And I think they should expect that for the first couple of months, because some of these teams want to bury them down deep in a hole so they can't get back out. And, you know, they did it to Boston last year. The American League East did not let Boston get out of the gate. They kept their foot on them. They put them, you know, they got them, you know, 12, 15 games back. And then they were just like, okay, we're just going to float you off into the Boston Harbor now. We don't have to worry about you. And we'll start to work on the other teams. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the Jays can get a couple of wins out of this series and then start to build at least a 500 level momentum, where it's win, lose, win a couple, lose a couple, win a couple, lose a couple. And then a month and a half in, you know, that's when you want to have string four in a row or five in a row together and start to really see some stuff. I feel like, you know, you don't want to burn yourself out too early in the season. And I feel like you don't want to go too slow as well, but to find a nice even keel, I think that's how, you know, teams like the Rangers and the Dodgers, they don't seem to really care what's going on right now. They're good enough to win most games, and the Braves. But if they lose a couple, they're not like
the Miami Marlins.
Yeah. but they're, you know, they're like, we lost a couple, whatever. It's not, you know, it's not October. We'll talk then. Call me in 6 months. So,
Ken, what you said, to start the season, you wanted to see us get off to a 500 on this 10-game road trip. We were one of the only teams in Major League Baseball that started with that long of a road trip before finally returning home. Yeah. So the Blue Jays went 4-6 during that. So they missed it by a couple games, to your point. Like, it could have been a lot worse when you look at how this went. The fact that, okay, great, even those last couple of games, you saw the offense starting to find some footing. The pitching unfortunately fell apart in a couple of key points where, like I said, even a couple of runs would have been the difference in those games recently over the Yankees. How are you feeling after this road trip? Like you said, I don't know if you had your expectations just perfectly tailored to where you were going, Ken, there, or I think that was a good mantra in this road trip to start the season personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I that's what I was kind of hoping for, was that 500. We came under just one game, which is not a big deal. But I knew that, like when we talked about this on previous episodes, that the schedule didn't seem very friendly to the Jays in the beginning. So I knew that it was going to be really tough just to start. So just the fact that we were able to string up four wins out of like the first, you know, six games or something. Now it's like 5-6 now. So, you know, that's why I'm not too worried yet. Like I said, I'm not jumping onto a lifeboat or anything like that. I do believe in the team will perform when we need to perform as the season goes on. So I'm not writing them off at all. And I'm very happy with so far. Would be nice if we had six wins out of it, but hey, we'll take four.
Exactly. So to your point, I wanted to circle back and talk some of the things that did go good in the Yankees series. I could not say enough good things on what I saw from Ernie Clement playing against the Yankees. It wasn't just the home run in the game we actually won. He played really well through the whole series. Is there anybody else that, or elaborating on Ernie Clement against the Yankees, that you guys would like to talk about?
Well, I mean, where do you start with Ernie Clement? Defense is unbelievable. He looks like he's been playing third base his whole life. And when moved, he immediately makes plays. Like, it's really rare that at the major league level, any other team could have three guys that they could put, maybe even four, that they can put anywhere that they want, and they're not out of place. They make big plays. Like the ball that he caught that was foul on third. I mean, that's a really, really, if for anybody who has played baseball, it's a really difficult catch, you know, and he made it look really easy. And you're like, oh man, like you're a super athletic dude. Like, and now we're starting to see that. I mean, the Jays catching, I don't think has been, I mean, they're badly missing Jano right now. You know, they need him to get back and they need him to right the ship behind the plate. I love Kirky, but he's not consistent enough with the bat right now. And it almost seems like he was battling a bit with some of the pitching. He had a number of wild pitches, a number of spiked balls where I think that, you know, a month from now, maybe he gets in front of them. And we all know he's a slow starter. We've seen it now a couple of times, but I mean, I don't know if we can accept that kind of stuff anymore. I thought Bo Bichette looked decent. He's not hitting the ball very well. I thought Vladdy looked decent. You know, it's so, and once again though, you go to the Yankees series, and the Yankees ran on the Jays again like they just stole at will. And you know, even if you don't do anything, you know, make a move for a catcher who can at least throw a guy out at two. Like Kirk isn't even close right now. Like they're walking into second base basically, and then taking third whenever they feel like it. And yeah, you can't do that. Like in the Yankees series, there's four runs that were caused by a steal of two, a steal of three, and then a sac fly. I mean, it's baseball 101.
They're not afraid of Kirk. They're not afraid of Kirk behind the plate. No. At the end of the day,
who would be? And when was the last time you threw a guy out?
Had him in last year. He hasn't done it yet this year.
Look at Sal Perez. Look at Sal Perez. The guy's 75 years old, but he can still hit the ball and he can still throw dudes out. He can't bend his knees, but he can do those other two things. And so that's why he's still a Royal. But you know,
the point is, I also just looking at, if you look at the Blue Jays in general, I don't think they realized, and they're the only team in baseball that seems to have not realized, the steal is back in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
This is we haven't been stealing bases. It took till the Yankee series for us to steal our first base as a team. So I think they're playing baseball right now in that mindset 3-4 years ago. Both offensively and defensively.
Yeah. You've only stolen three bases, looks like, and we haven't been caught once. Wow.
Which is nice, but you look at the teams like the Rays. I think the Rays are, I think a Siri kid's already got five.
He had five in one of the just games, didn't he, against the Jays?
He had two in one of them, and then he had one in another. He had three before the Blue Jays left town.
Oh, my God.
I know. I picked them up on my fantasy baseball teams. I needed some damn steals. And I saw what he was doing against the Blue Jays. I'm like, okay, well, fine. If he does half that against anybody else, I'm going to win. So I do have one thing. Did you guys see the Ernie Clement interview post-game when he hit the home run on the first game?
I did not.
I did not.
No. I quote, he was playing against, he's from where I am here in Rochester, New York, right? So it was fun playing against the team I rooted for as a kid, but it was nice to hit a home run and kick their ass.
Yeah.
Classy. Like it.
Right. So fun stuff, but let's move on to the opening. Before we talk about the game, because obviously we're, recording this while we're watching a little bit of the game here. So Blue Jays fans, if you happen to be out there, please hit us up with the comments. I see a ton of you in the actual mess and listening to us live here this evening. We are here to talk with you. Throw some things in the chat and we'll talk it out. What did you think of the last
comment on Twitter?
What did you think of the opening? Yeah, we're right here.
You can comment on Twitter. Proof is in the pudding.
I see Jason
comment on Twitter.
So on that note, I just want to talk in general. And Ken, maybe you have the inside track with your buddy, but I don't know if the Little League has started yet. The renovations are done. Home plate area, all the bowl, everything is done. So the main plan for all the Rogers Center Sky Dome renovations are in full swing and done. Other than the home plate lady seems to have had a, move to the right. It seems like everything is pretty good. I felt like Geddy Lee was sitting in her seat when I was watching last night behind home plate, but I guess it's Geddy Lee.
Move it, home plate lady. So, lead singer and bass player of one of the greatest three-man band in the world.
No, I have not heard anything from Graham. I think we'll probably have to try to get him on the show again. But I'm just, it's beautiful. Like I was looking at it, doing the whole thing. It is. Oh man, I can't wait to go to some games there. I know I'm going to go with some other people from work, and we're debating between going to see the Yankees or going to see the Royals.
I'm planning a trip in July as we speak.
Ooh.
So, but as it goes, it looks like a real baseball stadium now. It doesn't look like it was the multiverse anymore. It's a real ballpark. Seats are actually facing the right direction.
Yeah. I love behind home plate too. Wild. I love the way that it looks from the camera angle from, you know, when you're looking at the batter. I think it looks phenomenal. Those people in the front row or those first couple of rows must just be I went to a game at Dodger Stadium right after they had made the changes and made it so that basically you're sitting, like you can see Mary Hart's knees because there's nothing blocking anything. When you're standing down there, so when we were leaving the stadium, we went down to the lowest level and walked right out to the really expensive seats. It's unbelievable. I mean, you can feel the when a ball gets hit, you can feel the pressure coming off the ball, and it was amazing. And I mean, I'm hoping to get there this summer too. Actually, check that. If I get there, it'll be because we didn't make it all the way to the provincials regionals for baseball. So I don't want to come, but I do want to come.
You're going to come. And I'm making a road trip for at least one of the days you're going. So you're going to
come. I was thinking Canada Day already. My birthday is July 2nd. And so I was thinking about maybe having a look. I think the Jays play. I think we looked and I think we could fly into New York. The Yankees play Thursday, and I think it's Yankees Nationals or something like that. And then I think the Jays play, I can't remember who it is now. I could look ahead, but I think then I could watch, we could watch two more games on the weekend. One of them being the Canada Day game.
Astros on Canada Day, Monday, July 1st. It doesn't show who they were playing the weekend before, though. Gotta go back in time a little bit.
Yeah, so it's Yankees. Oh, that's right. The Yankees play the Jays in New York. So we could fly in and watch the Jays play the Yankees in New York. And then they play Houston on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So
that's all at the Rogers Center.
Is it all at the Rogers Center? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Woof.
Oh, well, hey, maybe.
Thursday through Sunday, Yankees are in town. And our all-day games, except for Friday, and then obviously on Canada Day they start playing against the Astros.
That might seal it.
Nice. We can probably do a live show, man. You never know. We can do all three of us
on the flight deck. Whoop. Been there, done that once. That was fun. So, anyways, on that note, that's the renovations look great. The one thing that I thought was, and maybe this is my horribleness of I hate the way that the baseball jerseys went with the advertising on the jerseys and stuff. I think it's a little obvious who the biggest money sponsor is outside of Rogers for the Toronto Blue Jays. The fact that there is literally green TDs anywhere I can look, you know, like this much.
A lot of green.
It's almost to the point. There's so much green. It looks like I'm recording in a green studio if I happen to be behind home plate.
is a lot of TDs.
Looks, that's it.
But you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, I feel like eventually hockey will sort of get to the point of sort of closer to Europe where there are, you know, larger spots. You know, they've gone to the helmet. My favorite is that they've allowed sports betting stickers on helmets in hockey, and yet they still get guys still get suspended and all the rest of it for gambling. It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyways, but.
But if they have an interpreter, we're good.
Yes. And one of the things that I've been telling my kids now is start learning Japanese, because apparently being an interpreter is the greatest job you could ever possibly have. I mean, salary is what, 4.5 million? And all you have to do is take the blame for some degenerate gambler and be
just get paid off afterwards.
Right. Well, itself. Yeah.
So on that note, boys, let's talk about the game as I'm seeing a home run celebration of Bo Bichette hitting a two-run blast right now.
All right.
Blue Jays 3-0. Woop, woop. That's all I'm going to say. So let's talk about the game last night. So the home opener, the Blue Jays win their sixth straight home opener, which I thought was really ironic because the first 2 years of that, it was pretty damn shitty years. You know, you didn't have the Bows, the Vladdies, and everybody up at the team yet. So ironic. Oh, no, I take that back. It was four that we've won in a row. Six was the record before, so they're trying. Yeah. What did you guys like about last night outside of all the things that we were just chit-chatting about? Because there's a lot of things I took away from watching how the team collectively played last night.
I think the big thing for me – go ahead if you're ready, though, Kennel.
No, I'm just very impressed with, like, how we, like you said, we talked about before, where the hitting is slowly starting to come up now, and I think we're starting to see that. So with Vlad being, you know, 2-for-4, Schneider hitting 2-for-4, Turner's hitting still, which is really, really, really good to see. So I'm happy that we're slowly starting to get there. So those are the first things I noticed during the home opener.
For me, I think the biggest thing was getting a lead and not letting it go. You know, they've had a lot of issue with that, not just this year, you know, in years past. And it was nice to see them get a few, let their pitcher pitch, back them up. And then when the other team started to challenge a little bit, they said, but we'll just put on two more and we'll make it so you can't really catch us. We're just going to mosey. But they worked hard for the whole game. There's no give up in their game. Played it right through to the end of the ninth inning. And so for me, you know, I think that's not too bad. It's a really good sign.
So my takeaway was, first off, the Blue Jays were facing a really damn good pitcher in Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
You've seen how we've won the games that we had won in those first, you know, 10 games, those whole four we won. They found a way to hit a home run and steal a win, right? They found ways to, what, funny enough, as I say, doubles machines lately, Justin Turner being the leader of that group with 6 double he just hit. So they found ways to attack the ball, but it didn't have to be a home run. They just kept circling the pillows, right? So they had, I forget how many doubles last night, but I think they had like 5. 5 doubles. Biggio, Vladdy, Bichette, and the one Bichette was a torpedo. And then IKF and Justin Turner. So those 5 doubles, and you just keep, it keeps pressure on the pitchers. You got a guy always there at second.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't need to hit a home run all the time, right? So it's just like all these hits will lead to runs, right? So that, I think that would make work in the right direction for that. So
it's what they were doing in the preseason. In the preseason, they hit a buttload of doubles and it scored a buttload of runs. And, you know, if you can 2 doubles equals a run. I mean, my math is not strong, but I know that works.
I think so.
And so it's one of those things where you can, if you can just keep pushing the next guy, the next guy pushes the next guy. It's so important. We're seeing it right now with our U13 team. You know, they're finally learning. Like, every kid wants to hit a homer, and most of them can now. So you have to get that mentality out of their heads, which is hard. It's virtually impossible. But they do see how it works when you take a walk, the next kid up drives one into the gap. You've got runners at second and third, and then you've got the opportunity to hit a sack. You've got an opportunity to hit a ball on the ground hard, and you're going to score. And so they realize that scoring is awesome. And sometimes, you know, your batting average may not be as high as you want it to be, but, you know, if you're getting 4 RBIs in a game based on hitting sack flies or hitting ground outs to places people can't get to, they can only get you at one, then, I mean, you have to take solace in that. And I think that, you know, with as bad as the Jays have been hitting, I feel like that's starting to eke out a little bit, where they're getting the better quality hit at the right time. You know, hitting a home run when it's 10-0 is useless, but, you know, hitting a gap
with Vladdy the other night,
hitting a gapper with 2 guys on in a 2-1 game is much more important. So it's nice to see some of that coming back around for the Jays right now.
Hitting doubles, to me, if I'm, you know, any young player that I ever talk to, and you hear this even with the hitting coaches in the major leagues and everything like that, if you're talking about how you want to hit the ball consistently, teaching a player to hit hard-nosed doubles and hard-line drives is always going to pay off better than teaching a kid to hit home runs or anything else, right? Drive the ball up the middle. Keep the ball
home runs will contact.
And then the other ones, you turn into all these other pieces where you hit home runs and everything like that. I think it's hilarious that to this day, one of the best home run hitters of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., says he was not a home run hitter.
Never.
So I went out there making hard contact. When you make hard contact, enough of them are going to be peppered over the fence. It's just how it works.
Yep.
So
absolutely,
it still gets hilarious. He still says that in like interviews. People will say, "How is it to be like one of the best home run hitters all the time?" And he goes, "I'm a power hitter. I hit hard line drives. Some of them just go over the fence."
I like that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it like 650, 700 that he hit over the fence?
All line drives, Craig. All line drives.
Yeah, top of the ball. Top of the ball.
Still the sweetest swing in all Major League Baseball. But to that point, I think those are the building blocks, boys. If you're trying to talk about what the identity of this team is, you don't have a Giancarlo Stanton, a Soto, and a Aaron Judge in this lineup. You have hard-nosed hitters that have been working the count better so far this season. Don't seem to get discouraged if they get behind in a ball game. I point to just that one that we had the other night where they almost sneakily stole it from the Yankees in the last inning. And if a home run the inning before didn't got held down and by the bullpen, it might have been a very long extra inning game for all the hell we know. So I think these building blocks, and I'm actually, funny enough, like I said, we're seeing this, I'm seeing it down on the screen here watching tonight's game while we're chit-chatting. That ball that Bo Bichette just knocked a giant monster mama jama out of the Yahtzee, did a really good job of digging one out and just made solid contact to it. And then Justin Turner comes in, hits a double, and some more guys score, and it just keeps moving. That's how it works. And then you get pitching like Jose Barrios did last night, where you got it. I'm not kidding. I on this show, before you gentlemen joined back up here with my old partners, we repeatedly said that Jose Barrios, when he was a Twin, was our like sleeper pick to be a Cy Young winner. Is this finally a season? Maybe he actually puts something like that together. I'll even point to our friends at Jay's Journal wrote a sneaky dark horse candidate article about him being a Cy Young candidate this year today that was on the website as well.
If he keeps playing like this, then yes, absolutely. Right. Let's just hope we can maintain it. Cause I know for the last couple of seasons, we've noticed that with Barrios, it'd be more like, it's like a roller coaster, right? Like he'll win 13 games, lose 12. Win 14 games, lose 13. So, you know, don't want to knock on wood that he maintains this. Doesn't go through another roller coaster. That's what we're looking for. We don't want that.
As a guy that's watched him since he was here in Rochester, New York, in the Twins organization, that's all I've seen his whole career. I waited for that next piece of the uber consistency to take over. And we've seen glimpses of it as Blue Jays fans. He has taken a couple of steps, except for the one bad year, obviously, of taking that next piece. And maybe we're looking at some guy that's got the confidence right now to do the walk the walk. So anyway, boys, so that's what's going on right now. We are currently winning 3-0 with Chris Bassitt on the mound. It's about fourth inning with one out. How do you think the rest of this game and the series is going to go against the Seattle Mariners? I don't know if you guys have seen too many highlights or what's going on with the Seattle Mariners team, but you talk about a team that's looking like the sail's been, or the wind's been taken out of the sail a little bit. They're looking a little sluggish out of the gate so far.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good for us. But I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting being out here because, you know, the Mariners almost get talked about as much as the Jays do, you know, when it comes to the little amount of baseball that Sportsnet 650 speaks about on the radio. And it seems to be a resounding just, and I don't know why, but the baseball pundits and everyone out here seems to just be hammering on the Mariners. Like, I know that their expectation is probably that they're better than they are right now, but they're ruthless. they do have, you know, a couple of the better players. And I mean, J-Rod is an incredible player and, you know, they've got some decent pitching. They're just not putting it together right now, but they really seem.
You look at J-Rod, spent 170 something, I think, when he was up a few minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Slow start.
It's
So
I mean, how much of that is very similar to Blue Jays fans being disgruntled over the fact that we haven't found that way of taking the next step. The Mariners are very similar to us, but we've made the playoffs those few years where they only made it that one year where they made us look like a bunch of idiots in the first round.
Yeah, that's true.
They've been an 88 win team for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Ken, I think I cut you off. I apologize.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. Let you guys
know. They're not a bad team. I feel like they struggle to have an identity right now. I don't think the Mariners have an identity. I feel like they're a mixed bag of players that not dissimilar to the Oakland A's, but they have a much better payroll. And they have a decently fickle fan base in Seattle. I've always found that Seattle fans are ravenous when you're good, and when you're not, they turn on you just as fast as anybody. I mean, I guess that happens in a lot of places, but Seattle, I've been noticed.
A Supersonics fan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, out here, we watch a lot of the many highs and lows of the Seahawks fan. And, you know, one loss to the 49ers or somebody that's in their division, and you might as well burn the stadium down. It's real highs and lows. And I would think as a player, if you've been there for a couple of years, you'd start to not only feel it, but it would start to grate on you a bit when, you know, you're out there and you're slugging it out and you feel like you're doing a decent job and you're getting nothing but mashed by the fans.
So the Blue Jays will be finishing up tomorrow against Seattle in a mid-afternoon day. So then this weekend we have the Rockies coming into town. Rockies have been really funny to watch. So they got a lot of young talent, but they don't seem to know what to do with it a little bit. But to that point, those are always sometimes some teams that bother me and scare me a little bit. I don't know what you guys think about them coming in, but they've dropped some games. They played some really good ones, but at the end of the day, they're 3-8 still.
Yeah. Well,
so
I don't know if you like, I've watched a little bit of the highlights. They're not a good team. Again, they remind me a bit of Seattle, where they've got some good players. They've got some good young talent. And I don't know what it is that they can't at least put it together at some level, but they're not good right now. They're, you know, they look a lot like a team for the American League could beat that, you know, a team from the minors could beat them really solidly.
Yeah. But then they had the weird night last night where they come back for Charlie from the block, freaking comes back and helps win them in the extra innings against the Diamondbacks. I know. You know, it's like, what are you going to get tonight? It's a wild card. It's like watching the Savannah Bananas versus the Party Animals, you know?
Well, we really got to take this momentum that we got, like we have. We took the home opener yesterday. It looks like we're leading so far this game. We really need to string up a good set of wins now just to get everyone's confidence back, right? Especially the bats coming alive slowly and surely. And hopefully have our pitching not have to worry so much where the games are really tight. Being up two or three runs, I think, is probably what we need to do just to get that confidence back.
Yeah. So not worried about the Rockies. Like I said, it's just funny that I'm hoping that they don't just manage to steal a win from us, because that's how you could get back to where we were talking about getting on the right foot here. And then the Yankees come back into town to start next week off.
Yeah.
So that's my goal. Get everything set, get everything moving, and then you're ready to run into that series against the Yankees. There could be some reinforcements on the way, boys. I don't know if you've seen a recent trip look at the injury report, but Eric Swanson has been throwing.
Ooh.
Jordan Romano's been throwing. The most recent news is that Romano's going to start a rehab assignment on Thursday down in Buffalo. So that's boding well for him returning in the near future. You know, he gets down there, gets a few innings out of him, looks good, feels good. Maybe he's back for the Yankees series, or at least maybe the tail end of it. You know, things like that. But for every good piece of news we hear on the injury report like that, we hear the flip side of this, and the fact that the cranky shoulder of Alek Manoah, like you were alluding to earlier, Jason, didn't go so well in his first outing.
No.
Six earned runs in an inning and two thirds for single A Dunedin Blue Jays.
Single A?
Yeah, it's not
really?
A. Yeah, it's not good.
26 strikes through 58 pitches. I hope that was just him just trying to make sure it didn't hurt. But
did he play on April 1st?
His talents should be busting those kids.
I mean, yeah. I think that, and I hate to say this, but I feel like he either needs to break it right down to the ground, or maybe he'll make a decent pitching coach. It sucks, but he is not throwing well, and he's not having, you know, that's not a it's not even close to a quality start. And then, you know, where do you even go from there? Like, I mean, sure. Okay. Manoah's hit rock bottom. That's rock bottom, right? That's rock bottom for a pitcher who I believe was at the All-Star game last year. Was he not? Or 2 years ago? Whatever it was.
Two years ago.
So, I mean,
I think he got a Cy Young vote that year too.
Which, I mean, you know, to think about it is
Bravo.
It's so hard. It's so hard to just even say it out loud. When a buddy of mine saw it, you know, sent me the line, and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like that's just, it's humble. It's unacceptable is what it is. It's unacceptable for the Jays to be spending as much money as they're spending on this guy, putting him through all these different steps, really trying to get Manoah back to what he was. And I mean, he doesn't look like he gives a crap left, right, or center. Like, I didn't see any of the highlights of it, but I saw what he pitched in the preseason, and he sure didn't look like he was fired up to do that.
Yeah. So I'm gonna take it with a grain of salt for the time being, as that was the first outing he had since being out. But like I said, the thing that shocks me is if his stuff's working on any level, he should be able to get the lowest of the low minor league kids out, which is what single A Dunedin is now. I hate saying that because that was the quote unquote plus level for so many years. It seems weird to me to have to say that the single A Dunedin Blue Jays, they were always that next step. The Florida State League was the cream of the crop in single A. You know what I mean? This is what happens with the restructuring and killing half the minor leagues because, you know, our wonderful commissioner of baseball is such a wonderful guy. sarcasm for the casual fan that's listening in here. That was me being 100% pointy. but to that point, like I said, I'm trying to ignore it, but Jason, you are 100% right. There was just so much evidence that's pointing to the fact that it's put up or shut up time. And my worry is he's turned into Ricky Romero too. And I loved Ricky Romero when he was with the Blue Jays. But this story just feels too familiar to me, knowing that story maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's unfortunate when it happens, but I mean, we probably don't get to see it as much. Like, I mean, there's probably lots of guys that have come up with a ton of clout and burnt out. I mean, I'm sure I'm sure there's thousands of them. And you never quite know what it is that makes that happen. And, you know, you always hope that he can get it back, but there's just some things, like, you know, golfers get the yips and you never hear from them again. And it's a real thing. And I mean, I think we've talked about this before. We've even had shows dedicated to it. I mean, if you don't think that the mental part of sports is very important, look at Alek Manoah and, you know, then think about what you've just said, because if mentally Alek could get himself into a place where he was confident to throw pitches, he would, those kids down at single A wouldn't even stand a chance. They would just be whiffing and, you know,
like, blowing him out of the water. Right. He would have like even five just the
movement on the pitches would, and the movement on the pitches would be enough to make some kids swing. They're not tailored players at that age, you know. Well, it's crazy. I just don't get it.
We should probably get Dr. Jenna Ross back in working with Alek
maybe
to try to help him out.
Yeah, maybe.
So, like I said, I'm still a big believer and hope that the revenge tour happens. But, and I do think that the Blue Jays, I'm worried the Bowden Francis to the starting rotation experiment has shown that it's going to fail. I do think there's enough good things that he's going to find ways to get major league players out. But Jason, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, I think he goes back to the bullpen as a big piece there.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think he's a major leaguer. My worry is that he's a major league reliever, not a major league starter.
But you have to try it. And I mean, kudos to the Jays for letting him have his shot and letting him see what could happen. And I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, like, there's nobody that comes into the league and they're like, I'm a closer. No one does that. No one's a closer coming out of college. Like, I mean, it's pitching by committee all the way up. And I mean, you may be a starter for sure, but when you try out for a major league team, you are trying to get a starting position. Don't make any mistakes about that. Like, there's nobody that goes into that conversation like, oh, great, I'm looking to be a long reliever. I mean, it's a great job if you can do it, but also a terrible one.
Greatest closer in Major League Baseball was a failed soldier or a failed starter, and that's Mariano Rivera. Yeah, they all are. Just to throw it out there. Crazy stuff. Couldn't find the plate for extended amounts of innings, and then guess what? When does this? Untouchable. The crazy thing about him and Mariano Rivera is you knew that cutter was coming. Every hitter in Major League Baseball knew that was what pitch he was going to throw. You still could not hit it.
Yep. Nope. And it's amazing sometimes when you watch guys strike out on pitches they clearly know are coming. Like, I mean, I don't know why you think that at some point it's not going to break off the plate. It's going to break off the plate. Like, just, you know, and if you get a called strike on it, then just, you know, the next time maybe you whiff one and let the ump have it in the head. I mean, it's, you know, like, it's there's nothing you can do about being beat by greatness.
Speaking of being plunked intentionally, how did Angel Hernandez not get hit the other night in that ball game? Did you see any highlights or see that live?
He's bad. Bad.
Looks like it's
a terrible strike three call.
The craziest one to me, so outside of the, great, you didn't see Bowden Francis step off and then throw the ball. Fine. Don't give a shit. The one that blew my mind was the one that was catcher's interference that got called. I think it was Gleyber Torres that was hitting.
Yeah.
He just basically went dink on a servant's glove after the ball went into his glove.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not catcher's interference on any level. The ball was in his glove already. You all of a sudden just said, you know what? I'm going to swing. And he fished a first base out of that because they called catcher's interference.
He's a terrible umpire. And I don't know how they just let him keep being an umpire. It doesn't make any sense. But
what kind of dirt's he got on somebody?
You know, he's probably got dirt on Bud Selig.
It's the only thing that I know. They've tried to fire him before and he's gotten away with it with the union and everything like that. So
are umpires unions? Are umpires part of a union?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Okay.
They have their own union. Yep.
It's hard to get rid of that.
And actually, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the first female Major League Baseball umpire make the majors this year?
Oh, I hope so.
I feel like I remember reading that. She was in spring training and the idea was she was not going to be a minor league umpire anymore. She was getting
Awesome.
Bump up to the majors. Good for her. I hope it happened because that was, she's apparently very, very talented and earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game on. Simple as that. So speaking of game on, boys, I got one weird sports trivia thing that was talked about last night about home openers for the Blue Jays. There have been only 5 other pitchers to do what Jose Berríos did last night in a home opener and throw 6+ scoreless innings. This is the list of, oh my God, level Blue Jays pitchers, if I tell you who's on this list. So he was number 5 on this list. There's 4 others. You guys want to take a guess on any of the 4 others? Well,
Dave Steeb has got to be there.
Yeah.
I'd say Roger Clemens.
Number 2, funny enough.
Roger Clemens.
And this is in order of chronological. Negative.
Oh.
Holiday?
Clemens.
Or Holiday?
Holiday?
No Holiday.
Wow.
No?
Tom Hankey?
Jimmy Key
is the first one to do it. My favorite Blue Jays pitcher of all time outside of Roy Halladay. So it was Jimmy Key in 89, Dave Steeb in 1990. The next one was in 1996. So you were very close with the Roger Clemens one.
Juan Guzman?
That wouldn't have been a bad toss either.
I always like
one of the other Blue Jays. was one of the only other Blue Jays to win a Cy Young.
Oh, Pat Henkin.
We named Pat Henkin.
Yeah.
And then the one that nobody would guess just pitched against us in the Bronx in 2019. He did this. Blue Jay pitcher, now playing for the Yankees.
Currently?
Stroman?
Stroman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
2019.
I'm the casual guy. I got a bunch of those. All right.
There you go, buddy.
Sign it up. So on that note, I guess we should go to your pick to click and see if you won now and while you're playing hot. So as
does
we go to
our
pick
count? To click,
is the fun Blue Jays.
Does go tonight ahead. Count in the pick to click? Because I feel like I really locked it up after tonight.
There you go. Yes, tonight will count because the game is not officially in the book. So you have a five inning cheat.
Sweet.
So last week for our little in season competition here on the Jaybird Watching Podcast, boys, I picked Dalton Varsho. Jason, you had George Springer. Ken, you had Turner, and our guest spot we threw in Double K. So looking at the box score for the last 7 days. The best hitter in that whole time frame was George Springer.
Ooh.
So I think Jason stole one from you, Ken, because if you look at the season in general so far, not just the last week, Justin Turner might be our offensive MVP at this point because of how hot he was right off the bat. And picked up and started doing that again tonight.
Yeah. I know.
So, Jason, you're our winner last week, so you get to be that one that tries to keep the streak going. So it's your pick, my friend.
And Springer's having a big night tonight.
Two hits. Can't pick.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a chance on Ernie Clement playing more, and so Ernie Clement is going to be my pick to click this week.
There you go. So Ernie Clement locked in. Ken, your pick.
I think I'm going to go with Schneider. I think I'm going to try to ride the mustache.
Don't say that.
Abe Schneider.
Don't say ride the mustache.
All right. Just going to ride the Schneider.
Gets it home. You know what? Don't Google that. Don't Google ride the mustache.
So the Never problem mind. That all I thought of that when he said that whole thing was the stupid movie Super Troopers, and I thought we were going to start guzzling maple syrup and... And yelling shenanigans at the top of our lungs.
So good.
So I'm going to go with... I think I'm going to go with Kirk. He's got another week here that he's definitely going to have a chance to, keep running with everything all on his own before we get Danny Jansen coming back, who is starting to feel better from the fractured... I guess it was his forearm or something he cracked. I can't remember exactly what it was, but either way, he's resuming baseball activities.
How do you got hit in the hand?
So, and then what we're penciling in because of our wonderful rule of who did the worst in batting average but played every day, Dalton Varsho, my pick from last week, is this week's guest spot default spot. So, boys, now that we've done that, do you want to see the random stupid thing I found for this week to talk and end out a show?
Absolutely. Let's see it.
Have you seen the prank that Joe Carter played on then rookie Derek Bell back in 1992?
I have.
I have not.
I totally remember this too.
So, Jason, you can help me out with the play-by-play here as we don't have audio on the clip, obviously. So
what happened was the Jays organization claimed there was an event where they were giving away a vehicle, and the vehicle comes driving out of left field, and obviously everybody's in on it except for George Bell, and they pan around to the field, and they're talking about it's whatever it is, what can't even remember what year, Ford Explorer, da, 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 and you can see him looking at it like it'd be like watching your own car drive out, because it is George Bell's own personal car.
Is it Derek Bell?
Derek Bell, sorry, Derek, out on the field. it's a pretty awesome slice of I don't know if you guys saw, there was another really good prank this week in the NHL, but this is beautiful. Like just watching your own car drive out as the announcer saying that they're going to give it away to some lucky fan. It takes a lot. Like, you'd have to steal his keys. You'd have to make sure that, you know, like somebody that was on the inside went and got the vehicle and he never saw it pull up at any time. I mean, it's quite a, it, is it a Ford Explorer? It sure looks like
no
it.
Like a very
out. Hey, oh, there's Kelly Gruber.
Horror Blazer. The best part is Joe Carter is driving it.
Driving the car. And he still can't figure it out. He's like, it looks a lot like my car. Like, I mean, is that just, did somebody just get a copy of this really random?
Now he's realized it. Now he's, so he's, there's the look.
Such a good face.
Like someone shot his dog or something, man. Jeez. Yeah,
it's so good.
That was awesome.
You got to think, at this time, Derek Bell has not had his major league career yet. He was riding the quote-unquote trenches for the Toronto Blue Jays, which was the group I had mentioned that was a great rookie class of guys that hadn't gotten that full-time shot yet. And like I said, the fact that they just – this is obviously a – casual hazing prank or whatever that you want to call it, to the point where they obviously were just messing with him, but it never got given away. It got given back to Derek Bell. Joe Carter tells this story pretty consistently, and it was just, that look was priceless because they caught it all on camera. And that I close it, it starts freaking finally doing it. And it's like, there's the, oh my God, that's my truck. Now they told him, now they're messing with him, and Joe got out of the truck.
Oh,
it's just those are the kind of things you get in a weird baseball game. But to that point, those are the kind of stories you used to never hear about either, too. So the fact that that story actually was recorded, documented, got out into the mainstream, and then Joe Carter keeps telling this story, I just think it's hysterical.
Awesome.
On that note, boys, is there anything else you would like to talk? We're at our hour mark. Blue Jays fans, anything out there? Obviously, hit us up on Twitter, X, wherever the heck you actually are listening in on. But this is your moment. Anything you guys want to chat on before we wander off?
I am good.
I am good as well.
Good deal. So, Blue Jays fans, make sure you turn in for our giveaways on Friday evenings. But like I said, I'm now bundling everything up. So head over to TikTok in our next drawing for a bigger grand prize will actually be on the 3rd of May. So make sure you get over to TikTok and give us a subscribe, and obviously just come and have fun with us on Friday nights, opening up some baseball cards and talking some baseball stories. We've had some fun with the cards we're opening up with some historic players, current players, and anything I can humanly think of to talk about. So on that note, also, we're going to be back on Tuesday evenings live, and apparently we're going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern possibly going forward here, because Jason is just trying to figure out how to get out of this new job so he can come talk baseball with us a little bit.
I quit.
We'll be good. That's the reason he's like, you know, classing us up a little bit here on the show with a hair slicked back and a nice dress.
You gotta class it up every now and again.
Yeah. Absolutely. So until then, Blue Jays fans, obviously you're here on live streams on Tuesdays. Make sure you hit us up anywhere you can on social media at BirdWatchingGC. And we are here to chat with you. So make sure you text us, message us, anything and all the above. And we are here to chat. And then if you missed the live show, we are wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures for.
Oh, so, Craig, I did want to mention one thing before we go. I don't know if you guys watched or not. And I know you guys were doing some wrestling stuff with the kids and all the rest of it. But I will say that the whole Cody Rhodes thing, beating Roman Reigns and The Rock thing, it's been amazing. And just to watch, like, I was sitting at, you know, at the office, you mentioned my new job with Matchbox, but I was sitting at the office and five grown men were talking about WrestleMania. And I don't know. And I asked all of them, I'm like, do you follow wrestling? And they're like, no, not really. But The Rock sort of made it relevant again. And, you know, so, you know what? Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for dragging your $700 million butt back to the ring. And, you know,
to that point, as the, like I said, I watch it because of my daughter and my wife love wrestling. And it's the closest I'm going to get my 13-year-old to watching a sport. And as long as she's into it, I'm good. But as the person that watched wrestling when I was her age, it blew my mind. It's like, this is already going crazy. And then all of a sudden you hear the, for the Undertaker. Yeah. And I'm like,
Stone Cold almost this took out the ring mind. Like three times when he was bombing around it.
Oh, so too crazy. So
it is.
Well played, sir. So I guess that's it, boys. So 3, 2, 1.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays. WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, Kelly Gruber.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc.